worth of reminder or explanation. We use both the common cup and the individual cup. We're looking at cold or concerned about cold. We will use the common cup on the front of the altar and on the right side. We will use individual cups on this side of the altar and the back. Individual cups on the back and this side of the altar. The children always come forward here. And so we have not yet gotten to the point where we believe that we haven't gotten to the point where Lutherans teach. The children are worthy to receive the sacrament even when they can't sort out the distinction between symbol, essence, substance, and all of that. The children at least come forward to receive the blessing. We ask everyone who will receive the bread and the wine to extend his hand. Extend your hand to receive the bread, and extend your hand again either to receive the individual cup or to assist the minister in drinking from the chalice. This makes your participating for communion and also helps the minister to decide who is below and above that final age. This we have sometimes used here, and I enjoy it, and I like to use it again this evening, is the greeting of peace, which we extend to one another after the, or just before the Agnus Dei. The celebrant says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." You respond with thy spirit, and then turn to the people around you and shake their hands or wave or whatever you can conveniently do, and wish them the peace of the Lord. This evening we will use the second sacrament of the liturgy, beginning on page 41. We will sing the liturgy except for the preparatory service. This will be spoken. The congregation will sing the entire service except for the preparatory service, which will be spoken. We open our worship with hymn number 187. 187.
Here be all the time.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. You may sit or kneel. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And God forgives me of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we plead for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who hast given thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us the knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and bestoweth upon them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet.
Thank you.
providence order of all things, both in heaven and earth, we humbly beseech thee to put away from us all hurtful things, and to give us those things which are profitable for us. Through thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end.
The epistle for this Sunday is recorded in the 6th chapter of Romans, where we read, "But God be thanked, you who once were slaves of sin have yielded wholehearted obedience to the pattern of teaching to which you were made subject, and emancipated from sin have become slaves of righteousness, to use words that suit your human weakness. I mean, as you once yielded your bodies to the service of impurity and lawlessness, making for moral anarchy, so now you must yield them to the service of righteousness, making for a holy life. When you were slaves of sin, you were free from the control of righteousness, and what was the gain? Nothing but what now makes you ashamed, for the end of that is death. But now freed from the commands of sin, and bound to the service of God, your gains are such as make for holiness, and the end is eternal life." And now the next and final sentence is one, when Bedazzled was on at our neighborhood theater, and the first time I saw it, no one laughed because they don't know their New Testament well enough. Remember when the devil said what lousy servants he had? But he says it's the wages they get. "For sin pays a wage, and the wage is death. But God gives freely, and his gift is eternal life in union with Christ Jesus our Lord." Here endeth the epistle.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The gospel for this Sunday is recorded in the 8th chapter of Mark.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
There was another occasion about this time when a huge crowd had collected, and as they had no food, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "I feel sorry for all these people. They have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home unfed, they will turn faint on the way. Some of them have come from a distance." The disciples answered, "How can anyone provide all these people with bread in this lonely place?" "How many loaves have you?" he asked, and they answered, 7. So he ordered the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples to distribute, and they served it out to the people. They also had a few small fishes, which he blessed and ordered them to distribute. They all ate to their heart's content, and 7 baskets were filled with the scraps that were left. The people numbered about 4,000. Here endeth the gospel.
Glory be to thee.
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the 3rd day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Holy Father, we thank Thee that the kind of fear of famine that is written into the prayers of the church no longer has the same kind of urgency in this time of harvest, that we have learned as we have been obedient to Thy first command to multiply and subdue the earth, that the same amount of rain falls over the earth, that it's a matter of those who receive the harvest this year to share with those who do not. We thank Thee for the youth movement in our time that has made hunger a dominant note, and that is kicking the shins of us who are older, who all too oftentimes feel that going to bed hungry is simply the lot that falls to some on this earth, that it no longer needs to be that one of Thy children knows the kind of malnutrition, the kind of disadvantage that comes where there is inadequate food. Holy Father, grant to Thy church a heart and a mind and the kind of will to act upon our understanding that none of Thy children on this earth are malformed, none deprived, as Thou dost give abundantly. And it is for us who have received to share. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been meditating on this text this week because, as some of you are also aware, we have twice in the church year this particular text. It's an argument among scholars that it's a doublet, the 4,000 and 5,000 being the same occasion, but whoever edited the accounts was nearer the occasions than ourselves, and I inclined to be on the side of the scriptures here and not the scholars. The scholars usually being subsidized either by the state or the church, so none of them ever have to know want, and so they're not so sensitive as the church itself has been in having two Sundays out of 52 on the same account of the feeding by our Lord of a multitude. And one of the exegetes, Riley, says, well, unquestionably something must have happened here, but we can, of course, argue with the text that they did not eat to their heart's content. But that's what the scripture declares. And seven baskets were filled with the scraps that were left. And on each occasion, there's the argument of abundance, the bounty of God. One of the things I think we appreciated so much in last night's communion was that there was not a kind of niggardly symbol here and a little wafer that disappears as soon as it's on your tongue without taste and a sip of wine. But there was a sense of abundance. And I wish that all our communions might capture this. This is one thing we could have in the church's life. Because God is a God of bounty towards man. He does not give niggardly. And we are those who are knowing a mutiny on God's bounty. That old novel gives a good title for tonight's sermon, Mutiny on the Bounty. For God does supply abundantly above all we ask or think. But we don't always share as we receive more than our share with those who have less. This is our human predicament in this hour as the means of communication have come not only to know suffering is something more than statistics. We see the extended bellies of the little children. We know the influence on the minds of the aging. And if we've been a little hungry ourselves for any length of time, we know too how these effects can come and affect disposition and will and imagination. And all you can think is food and dream is food. The fellows laughed in our prison when the GIs first rescued him, and their thought at first was, of course, what about women and what do you do about women? Well, all our dreams were of Maltons when you get that hungry. And these fellows had jowls and they had shoulders and they all looked like monsters to us, and we had little of the feeling that the rest of the world has when it looks at us Americans and the other well-fed Westerners. And the Japanese, whose height now is increasing annually because they're getting better kind of provender. The one world without and the other world with, we know too well. And we're not going to harangue ourselves on this today. But what we're going to look at is what happens to us in the light of these texts, because our Lord has given these experiences just before he asks that we let go of our anxiety for this existence in this world and lay hold of a concern that makes men alive, that brings them into God's fellowship, as we have the kind of time and energy to give ourselves to God's redemptive love. And we won't be about the Father's business if we're always concerned about our hostages to fortune, as Mary's dad used to call them all the time. That's what he called children. He said one of the things that afflicts so many pastors and our married clergy is that they kind of reduce the power of that word a bit as they get into their pulpits, because they can see their children in front of them too. And they're not so sure if the congregation will want them next Sunday if they really let go. And we can let our fears bind the word of God instead of lose it. And we know all too easily how many men will not let go of their particular security to even be in the ministry of the word, where you live off an offering plate. So oftentimes when I was youth pastor for our synod, and this meaning of a call would come to a fellow, and I could see he was grappling with it, and I could see he was turning it off because he couldn't stand that thought of living on the Sunday morning offering. He wanted to have his own house, as he'd say, and his own job. It is the temptation that comes to us all when we are called to follow Jesus and to let go of all as we follow him. And so these particular texts are here about these feedings. So we know that God is one whose bounty is measureless, that he's more concerned about our stomachs and our children than we are, and that we can leave this in his hand and take hold of our brother. The Church of Sweden has actually taken this particular text out of the church here and changed the Sunday. And well, one could excuse them a little bit because they're all living off the bounty of the state there, so maybe they don't have to look at God's bounty too much, man having taken care of it for himself, at least so long as you stay out of wars and keep yourself relatively in the modern commerce world like they can. And yet this meaning of the reality of anxiety is in the midst even of our welfare state. You only have to live with them a little to know it. And where men are overwhelmed by God and his goodness and how he pours out in his bounty, they can let go. Paul uses this very argument in Corinthians. We don't have to give sparingly because God doesn't give sparingly. And he that, he says, sows generously shall reap generously, God loving the hilarious giver. The sense of being laid hold of then by this image of God is what this text is about. And it doesn't get to us very easily. There's a little humor in one of Paul Gerhardt's hymns that I've always loved when he says, "Hath he not oft since childhood's hour turn dreaded ills away? Upon thy mouth then lay thine hand and trust his guiding eye. Thus firm as rock thy face shall stand now and eternally. Upon your mouth then lay your hand." But we have robbed ourselves of so many good days, all of us, because we have not let these texts rest from us, as our Lord goes on to say afterwards, this leaven of the Pharisee and the scribe. This fearfulness and anxiety for this life that turns our whole relationship into God into kind of a success religion and a power of positive thinking, that if you're on God's side, you're always going to have it good and so on. It simply isn't true, as we know. I remember as a small boy how I would writhe with anger that God let John the Baptist lose his head and then to a girl like that after he'd produced and delivered. And then God wasn't there. And there were times in a prison camp when I was thankful for that story. He doesn't assure us of two cars in every garage and much less two chickens in every pot. But there is this sense of his undergirding life with his ongoing concern that lays hold of us so that even in the midst of life's no's, we can wrestle through to a yes in this. I wouldn't be preaching from this pulpit but for past famine and bankruptcies. I'd be a Norwegian in Norway. When we first came to Norway in our first trip, there was in a Norwegian magazine an article on a great-grandfather of mine. He had a whole town, 3,000 people, and just sort of a fop like a fellow like that can get. He died a pauper. Famine wiped out that whole area in Norway. And then my grandfather came out of a kind of piety which didn't believe in insurance, and when one of his ships went down, he had to sell the other one in his factory and move over, the whole bunch, in his middle 40s, almost 50, and start a new life in America. But God's shaping through these events, too. How grateful we can be when we look back on some of the times when life crossed us up, can't we? And say we're glad for this shut door. I wanted to be a scholar with my life, and here I am at Holden Village. Instead of being bored to death as every May comes around and thinking of having to do this for another 20, 30 years, I still don't know where we'll be at next year, and it's wonderful, isn't it? When the village has been secured, I won't be around. It won't be exciting anymore. This is the way life comes alive for us, doesn't it? When we let go and let God take over and direct us, we may not secure our future, because that we can't do. Ultimately, none of us can. But we certainly seize the opportunity as it comes day by day. For this day to be God's, this day to be celebrating, this day to be rejoicing. Remember one of the great teachers, David Swenson, giving a whole talk one time on the universals in terms of simply food and how much more thankfulness and rejoicing there is in us as we share a bowl of rice that all men on earth can have than when we have a good steak. That there's something in this universalness of taking from God's hand that which all men can share that makes life open up with more riches. Something we Americans may have lost and have to rediscover again when perhaps not the forces of nature but the forces of man take from us our abundance. But to have this kind of mutinous spirit on God's bounty where we don't give him thanks, where we aren't living in his care, is what all of us know is that erosion of faith in our life. And there isn't a green pastures and a cup running over. Certainly much of the chase that I have done for Holden Village would not have been necessary. Parishes where I've been and worked hard have never produced anyone for the village. And people come from nowhere. Much of the kind of concern that I've had for finances would not have been necessary. Fortunately, there hasn't been too much. We do learn to turn him over to his hand because he cares for us better than we can care for ourselves. As we are about the tasks he gives us day by day, we leave these ultimate anxieties to him, and we discover then what Tillich has said was the mystery of Luther's faith for the modern philosopher. And that is that the anxiety of guilt resolves the anxiety of existence, that in the knowledge of forgiveness, man discovers a freedom from care, the kind of corrosive care for himself, and a freedom to care for the brother. Knowing God is carrying him, he can carry the brother. And this is what happens in the reality of God. And then we have a kind of bounce in our life. The man who has perhaps done more to shape my life than any others, Dr. L.W. Bull, president of St. Olaf College. And in those days when the president went out and did the begging personally from people, one of the doctors over in Goodhue County that he'd been to see said, if I give you this, how am I going to live? You know. And Prexy, in his own abrupt way, sort of says, for what? You know. And wouldn't take the money that he was going to give him. Never did take the $1,000 when he sent it back to him. It taught me something. When I got into a parish, I did the same thing. And I had my people trained for it. So we didn't have sort of a people giving us a kind of annual fee. It was a wealthy parish, and there were absentee owners in it, and we had to sort of wrest the parish from the absentee owners. Remember one of the fellows, he's around and active in it today, owns Lakeland Camping, a canning company, and when I first went to see him and he handed me $500 and I threw it in his fireplace, he had a little look of shock. And I said, I came here for you, not your money. Either you come with the rest of us poor sinners to church, or you'll have to stay at home with your money and go to hell with it. Well, he called up a couple of my men, and they came over. And they did the same thing with it. They said, you know what Pastor says, we don't want your money without you. And he realized we meant it. He was chairman of the building program when they built a too expensive church in that particular parish. At least he got back into it. And this is what the church can have, a kind of sauciness. It isn't owned by its absentee givers. And it has a realization of God who cares and who loves us. And though we're beggars who dance. We don't grovel. Because in the Church of Jesus Christ, we do live off of God's bounty through one another. It doesn't come as manna in the wilderness. And it doesn't come out of seven loaves and a few fish. But it comes as each of us share with all. And that's what we're going to learn to live on this planet together. Or we're going to destroy it. Because it's too small a living space today for some to have two cars in every garage and others not to have a loaf of bread on their table. And that's the kind of a world that God is molding as we clap our hands today in our pilgrimage, realize he cares. Because when I know he cares for me, then I'm free to care for my brother. When I have a brother who doesn't give me just a little wafer, but a whole loaf of bread, and wine enough to swim in at that wedding of Cana, I don't have to be niggardly with my neighbor. And this is the wonder that God produces in his people. And he is producing it. The particular archbishop in our area was a good friend of my father-in-law, and when Lutheran World Federation was busting out all over, and youth like yourselves come here to work for nothing, like for a summer we're paying away over to Europe to work for nothing, and we were redirecting millions and re-establishing them with homes all over the world, and the money was pouring in, he says, how do you do it, you Lutherans? You can't even scare them with purgatory, you know. But the awareness of Christ our brother had gotten through to us in that moment. And when it hits us with the same force for the black and for the fellow in the Appalachian, and for just the guy down the street who's having it rough, and for that old person trying to make a shrinking pension fund get around just for the board and room, then we have a church, a fellowship of brethren who are living in the text for this day, where it's not mutiny on the bounty, but thanks and wonder and amazement. For God is good and he is great, so we can be a brother. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thee praise and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and tender mercy. We bless thee for the love which hath created and hath sustained us from day to day. We praise thee for the gift of thy Son, our Savior, through whom thou hast made known thy will and grace. We thank thee for the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, for thy holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and godly men, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that our Lord hath done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness by lives that are given wholly to thy service.
We beseech you, dear Lord.
Save and defend thy church universal, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Give it pastors and ministers according to thy spirit, and strengthen it through the word and the holy sacraments. Make it perfect in love and in all good works, and establish it in the faith delivered to the saints. Sanctify and unite thy people in all the world, that one holy church may bear witness to thee, the God and Father of all.
We beseech thee, hear us, O Lord.
Send forth thy light and thy truth into all the earth, O Lord. Raise up, we pray thee, faithful servants of Christ, who labor in the gospel at home and in distant lands.
We beseech thee, hear us, O Lord.
Preserve our nation in righteousness and honor, and continue thy blessings to us as a people. We may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, and help them to acknowledge and obey thy holy will. Give to all men the minds of Christ, and expose our ways in thy peace, O God. Take from us all hatred and prejudice, and whatever may hinder unity of spirit and concord. Prosper the labors of those who take counsel for the nations of the world. A mutual understanding and a common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Bless, we pray thee, the schools of the church, universities and centers of research, all institutions of learning, and those who exercise the care of souls therein. Withhold not, we pray thee, thy word and wisdom, but bestow it in such measure that men may serve thee in church and state, and our common life be brought under the rule of thy truth and righteousness. God of mercies, we pray thee to comfort with the grace of thy Holy Spirit all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Remember those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy upon those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow or mourning. And to all grant the measure of thy love, taking them into thy tender care. We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served thee in thy church on earth, who now rest from their labors, especially those most dear to us, whom we name in our hearts before thee. Keep us in fellowship with all thy saints, and bring us at length to the joy of thy heavenly kingdom. All these things and whatever else thou seest that we need, grant us, O Father, for his sake who died and rose again, and now liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end.
It is truly me, brother.
loved the world is to give thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Who having come into the world to fulfill for us thy holy will, and to accomplish all things for our salvation, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take heed, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Remembering therefore his salutary precept, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to thee, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. And we beseech thee mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with thy word and Holy Spirit to bless us, thy servants, and these, thine own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who partake thereof may be filled with heavenly benediction and grace, and receiving the remission of sins, be sanctified in soul and body, and have our portion with all thy saints. And unto thee, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in thy holy church, world without end. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end.
Amen.